God is good. He's really good. And that's really our message tonight. We're going to talk about the good news that he brings. And the way that works was described really well last week by Robbie. And that he gives us good things, we give it back to him, and he makes them even better, and he hands them back to us. And that's really how this ministry has always functioned, is that we believe God is good, we give him our lives, he gives stuff back to us, and it just kind of grows. And we've been blessed over the years to just have a lot of really, really, really good people in our ministry. And so one of those was Robbie last week that's just in our midst. Isn't that cool? Let's give Robbie a hand for being here last week. That was so great. And our opportunity now, in every week we pass these KFC buckets. It's not for if you're visiting with us, this isn't for you. Don't even worry about it. You just let it pass on by. But for those of you who know that God is good and he's working here, that giving back is not, it's not giving away stuff, it's giving towards something that ends up becoming more and more. And so that's what we're gonna do now. We're gonna pass those KFC buckets, and if you feel led, just go ahead and drop something in there. We also have an online option that I would really like to encourage you with on that. That's our called First Five. It's our first. God doesn't care about your most. I think he cares about your first. And so we're talking about giving just your first $5 a week to the Lord online. So you can do that also on the app if you want to. Good news. Isn't it funny how there's a lot of good news out there and you just don't seem to appreciate it as much? And it could be little or big. And there's certainly big things, and then there's little things. One of the big things that I think all of you, I'm going to speak your language, and I'm speaking my language right now too. I've got three kids going to be in college next year. And so you know what a big deal tuition is. But I'm really feeling the need for some good news with tuition. And I'm realizing that the bigger the stakes, the more there are strings attached. And, you know, when we're looking into options like the National Guard and things like that to help pay for things, and they do pay for things, but it isn't totally free, is it? There's some strings attached to just about everything. You pay a loan, you got to pay it back with interest. You get a loan, you pay it back with interest. There's all of these things that the bigger they are, it's not really free. And as free as that might sound, and maybe there is some options for some free opportunities, but there's usually fine print that you don't qualify for, right? There's always something. The bigger it is, the harder it is to get it to be totally free. But there are some things that are small that are free and that we just don't appreciate as much as some people do. So my wife likes to run. And she is in this running club over called Feet Fleet. Yeah, Feet Fleet. And she likes to run with these groups. So, well, anyway, there's a couple people at State Farm that wanted to ask her to run. Well, one guy named Manmeet, he is from India. Let's take a picture. I think we got a picture of him. Manmeet is from India, and it is not the guy on the left-hand side, okay? He's not from India. Manmeet has never really taken up the hobby of running. And he's here, and he's like, oh, I want to be a runner. And he's like so excited. And Paul is like, Pete, you won't even believe the excitement that comes off this guy. This is like one of 15 different pictures that he's taken after practice runs. We got to get a picture. This is so amazing. So he starts this whole thing out by coming to Paulette at the very beginning and saying, Paulette, will you run with me? Will you practice with me? And she goes, yeah. And he was like, whoa! And so the way she describes how he says it, it's a little bit between a wow and a whoa, okay? So it's like, wow! And so he does this, and she's like super pumped, and she's like, I just can't help but be excited about running when I'm with my mate. It's amazing. This guy's just like full of energy. Okay, we can pull him down. He's full of energy. He's excited. And then one day, it's sleeting outside. Like it's nasty, it's cold, it's not comfortable, and Paulette's like, I don't know how much to wear, how much not to wear, and then you're running, and then you got the elements hitting you in the face and whatever else. And she comes home, she says, Manmeet was so excited about running. He came up running beside me and he goes, Paulette, we are running in the rain. Whoa! This is so awesome. And I just, it just becomes a contagion. And she says, you know what? After listening to that, I kind of got excited. Kind of guess, yeah, we're running in the rain. We're running in the sleet. I got a PR. Whoa. And so I want us to practice that word together, okay? Just we're gonna periodically just maybe use that tonight. And so I want us to get it right, and so we gotta practice it because it's kind of hard to get. It's like I told you, it's kind of a wow, but you start off with a whoa, okay, like a whoa, and then it changes into an ow at the end, okay? So all right, we're gonna do this together on three. One, two, three. Wow! You feel it? Are you excited? There's good news in the air. There's good news. So, one time I was watching, I love to watch Michigan State, and I was traveling. I was in Indianapolis, perhaps, when I was at a parking garage. And somebody told me that if you had your validated ticket, you could take that validated ticket to the hotel that it was connected to, and you could get $50 off of a stay there at the hotel. That's a big deal. And like not a lot of people know about it. It's just kind of a word of mouth thing. And so as soon as we would get this, we were felt like, well, actually, we didn't know about it when we first got it. We had somebody in the parking garage and said, hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but that's worth $50. Really? And as soon as you know, it's like, I got to tell the next person. I don't know who they are, but I got to tell the next person because this is a big deal. And it was kind of fun because you just started passing good news on to other people. And it's just $50, and a lot of people probably didn't cash in, but you just felt obligated. It was really, truly a free gift that you wanted. Wow. And I just think that when we hear about the good news of the gospel, the good news of the New Testament. Gospel actually means good news. And I don't know if you know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're just called, in short, they're called the Gospels, the good news books. And this really is the centerpiece of everything that's hinged on, Christianity is hinged on. And I think sometimes we just might forget that the reason we serve, the reason we're in small groups, the reason that we invest in other people, the reason that we give, the reason that we have all these hospitals in Jesus' name, the reason all of these things happen is because at the very center there are these, not just these four books, but these four people that all tell the story of this one life that did something that was miraculous and, whoa, big. And they just said, it's just called the gospel. It's just good news. And that good news was so real to these people. It was almost like they were in that parking garage and they felt obligated to pass that information on to the next person, to the next person, to the next person. But it wasn't a small thing. It wasn't even as big as tuition. It was the biggest of things. The biggest of things. Good news. And I was reading in Acts chapter 14 and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I just highlighted some of the times where it says that they were preaching the good news. It says here, at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual to preach the good news to the Jewish synagogue. A few sentences later, so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who affirmed the message of grace. Grace is another word for good news. It's like you don't have to do anything. Grace, you just get it. A little further down, it says they went to Lystra and Derbe and the surrounding country where they continued to preach the good news. On up to verse 15, men, why are you doing this? Because they were people, the good news kind of created a stir and people started to worship these guys. And they say, wait, what do you worship us? We're only men. We're only humans like you. We're bringing you good news. That's all we're doing. We're bringing you good news. In verse 19, then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over against Paul, and they stoned him, and they dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples gathered around him, he got up and he went back into the city to preach the good news. What? Verse 21, they preached the good news in that city, and they won a large number of disciples. Verse 25, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God, for they had now which they had now completed, and they were preaching, what do you think? The good news. The gospel. This is just one chapter in Acts. I just picked one. It's throughout the whole book. These guys had something really dramatic happen to them with this man named Jesus that was so real that it didn't matter if he got stoned or not. I am compelled to tell you something that's going to radically change you. That's deep. That's transformational. And so what I decided to do this week is I know that that transformation has happened for a lot of you. I know that that's happened. And I know I've been around the church long enough and I've been around Jesus long enough to know that this gospel is not just one-dimensional. It has so many different angles to it that blow your mind. As a matter of fact, I can't cover all of them tonight. This is not an exhaustive list that we're going to look at tonight. But I started asking you guys some of the questions. If you've been around the campus house, you know I asked you this today. I asked you this last Friday. And I just asked this question, what is amazing about the good news to you? What has made you stop and just go, wow? And so I got a list. Five things, I think it's five. I don't know, we'll see. We'll get through it. Let's do number one. It's personal. This is not about good people being better. This is about grace. It's about personal. It's for many people, when they hear the good news of Jesus, that he actually died on a cross. A lot of people know that story, but they don't understand the connection. And what most of us believe, in some way, shape, or form, there's a prerequisite. There's some fine print at the bottom that says this is only good for some people. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter what sexual orientation you have. It doesn't matter if you've killed people. It doesn't matter how extremely far you've been from God and how figuratively you've just flipped God off. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how amazingly far you think you are from God and that you don't deserve it. God says, no prerequisites. No prerequisites. It's free. It's for you. It's personal. It's just for you. And so many of us think that we are disqualified because of our person. Well, you don't know me. You don't know my story. You don't know my family. You don't know what I've done. You don't really know my thought life. You don't. No, I don't. God knows all of it. And he says, yes. That, for some of us, at some point in time in your life, made you go, yeah, somebody said it. Whoa. Whoa. This is amazing. Not only is this personal, in Ephesians 2:8-9, I'm just going to read some scriptures that go along with each of these just so you know it's true. It says, for it is by grace, that is a gift, that's not anything you've done. It's for by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not of your own self. It's a gift from God. No works. So no one can brag about it. No boasting. It's just a gift. Oh, that's awesome. Second thing is it's deep. It's true change from the inside out. This isn't an external covering. This is about your identity. Do you know that it is for a long time, I think, this idea of grace, this idea of the good news was that, yes, I'm a sinner. Jesus died for the whole world, and his blood kind of just for everybody, and I'm just part of the everybody, and it just kind of covers me, and because of that, I'm in, but man, my insides are still all messed up. No. No, this is deep. His forgiveness in his blood heals the deepest part of you. That part of you that you don't think is fixable with Jesus. That deep part of you that changes, that makes you think lies, that deep part of you that makes you think lies about yourself, and you know they're lies, but you have no idea how to reprogram yourself. Jesus knows how to reprogram you. He changes the center of who you are, transforms it, makes it new. And when that new thing on the inside happens, everything else seems to fall in suit, and you become a new creation, is what it says. Also here in Ephesians 3, it says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp just how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Jesus Christ, and to know that his love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's inside stuff. That's in your heart. The gospel, the good news, is deeper than you think. And when I say it's deep, what do you say? Whoa. Yes, that was better. That was better. And you did it longer than I did. We need to make it long. That's good. Thirdly, it's vast. This is for all sins and for all people. Oh, man. In Hebrews 9, he says he died once for all. For all time and for all sin. I asked some of you, what blows your mind about the gospel? This is what blows most of your minds. Most of you said, I can't believe that not only did he die for every sin I ever did and the sin that I'm doing today, he already died and he's covered the sin I'm going to commit tomorrow and the sin I'm going to commit when I'm first married and the sin that I'm going to commit when I'm 86 years old. He's got it all covered. On the cross covered all your sin. And the other vastness, Robbie talked about it last week. He was in the Philippines, and he's like, man, I've been told my whole life, like, Jesus has died for me, and that's supposed to, like, rock my world. I kind of already know that, but, man, you go to another culture, you go to Thailand, you go to India, you go to some other place, you go to the Philippines, and you just see thousands of people with black hair that aren't like yours, and it's just everywhere. And you're like, Jesus died for them. Vast. Vastness of the gospel blows you, should blow us away. And I really like, this isn't a Midwest fad. It's about the nations. And we're beginning to feel that and understand that more and more. We got Mexico coming next week. A lot of you are going to Poland this summer. Some of you are going to the Philippines with me this summer. Dude, this is about the nations. This is about God's world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Vast sin and vast groups of people. And when I think of the bigness of what his grace did and what his blood covers, I say, yes, yes. Let's get excited about this. We're not even close to lastly. Oh, we got six, I think. It's now. God's grace is always available. This isn't about getting to heaven one day. It starts now. Isn't that kind of weird? I'm just going to confess to you, for a long time, I was like, you better be good now so that later you go to heaven. I better tell Jesus that I accept him in my heart, but maybe I should wait till the end and ask him. Maybe I'll gamble a little bit, and I'll wait, and then I'll like get in at the last minute, and then that'll be cool, because it's about then. It's not about now. No, eternal life starts now. It's right now. We get to live in freedom right now, in the present. Revelation 3:20 says, here I am. I stand at the door. This is Jesus talking. I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking right now. Some of you, he's knocking on your heart right now. And he's saying, I know you thought someday, but it's tonight. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. I'm going to dine with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. Jesus is a gentleman. He will not barge the door down. But he's knocking. And he's knocking tonight. This is a present tense thing. It's eternal. This isn't about pressure. Is about freedom. Man, I got to camp on this for a little bit. For those of you who are outside of the church, some of these first ones I've mentioned might just be like, wow. But for some of you that have been raised in a community or in a church that has put pressure on you, this is the one that's going to free you. This is the one that's going to be like tears down the cheeks, kind of unbelievable, wow. Because some of you in this place have been raised either in a family or in a church that have said, you better believe, you better behave in a certain way. And if you do not believe and behave in a certain way, hell's coming and it's coming for you in the day. And you've lived in fear. You have lived in fear of, I better do the right thing, and if I don't, I'm going to be judged. And if I don't, I'm going to be out. Or if I don't do the right thing exactly how I'm supposed to, or what my pastor said, or what my mom said, or what God said, and oh my goodness, and the pressure just builds and builds and builds, and we do not live free, and you do not have a life that is what anyone wants. They look at you and they're like, I don't think I want that. You're not living the way Jesus intended you to live. I'm telling you right now, Jesus was against that. It was one of the biggest things that was a pet peeve of his during that time when he was walking around, because the Pharisees were doing the same thing to everyone around him in his context. And they were saying, you behave like this because if you behave like this, it was a way to control them. And we all know the fear of eternal our eternal destiny or hell or whatever it might be, that fear is a very powerful leveraging point that maybe some people use manipulatively, but there's a lot of people that don't know any better because that's how they were raised and it was just passed on to you. And so don't push harsh judgment on whoever did that for you, but I'm telling you, it's not Jesus' way. If you're feeling pressure, like heavy pressure, you're not feeling grace. It's not from the Lord. Jesus is inviting you into something amazing. John 10:28. Jesus says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. And no one's going to snatch them out of my hand. Don't worry about it. I got you. If you've surrendered to me, I've got you. Romans 6:14, it says, you're no longer under the law where you're being judged. You're under grace. It's like this umbrella. And when we receive this good news, like surrender our lives to Him, we become not perfect, but we are covered. And this thing can carry on with us throughout our life, and we don't have to worry about if I mess up today or I mess up this way or what. These sins are covered, like I said, from yesterday to age 86. I don't know about 87, but, you know, 87 too. And we have to live in that freedom. And this is just, it's hard for a lot of us to understand because I think sometimes we believe that a sin is going to disqualify us. And Jesus is like, hey, I know how you're wired. And I know, and I know I'm not giving you a free pass to sin, but Romans 6 says this whole thing. He says it really clearly. In Romans 6, it says, the question is, oh, should we start sinning if we know we're covered? Because that was the whole topic of the day. Hey, if we know we're going to be saved, should I just keep on sinning so that grace keeps covering me? He's like, no. And listen to this, guys. This makes so much sense. This is logic that you, for those of you who think a lot, just think about this. What is the one thing that motivates you to want to serve your parents and obey what they say? Is it when they rule over you with an iron fist and they say, I better not catch you? That works temporarily, but it never works long term. What works long term is when they give you gifts and they give you grace that you don't deserve and they pay for stuff that they didn't need to pay for and they tell you that they love you and they don't really, when you didn't really deserve it, and they just keep lavishing gifts on you and lavishing gifts on you, and you're like, I want to serve my parents, my Heavenly Father. That's how He works. And He's like, you're going to mess up tomorrow, I know that, but just know I'm going to keep giving you grace. I'm just going to keep giving you grace. Wow. Lastly, it's simple. Isn't it true the most profound things in life are always the simplest? The most profound things are always the simplest. This isn't for only the seminary educated. This is for children and the mentally challenged. The gospel's for everybody. Jesus said, I came and I died for everybody. And I don't care how messed up you are or what place you came from or what kind of history you've got. Come for everybody. And it's simple. And you don't have to be someone who understands everything. You just have to understand grace. You have to understand it enough to receive it. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, there is this first sermon ever preached after the gospel was readily available. After Jesus died, 50 days later, here comes the Spirit, and people are like, what's going on? And Peter just says, you guys killed Jesus. And they're like, ugh. It says they were cut to the heart, and they said, what do we do? What do we do with that? And then Peter said, you got to memorize the whole Old Testament, and you got to go to Bible college. No, that's not what he said. He said, repent and be baptized. In case you don't know what repent is, it just means to do an about face. I've been living for me, and I can just start walking a different direction. Everybody understands that. Three-year-old kids understand that. Repent, turn around, and be baptized. Identify yourself in a surrendered ceremony with the one who can get you where you need to go, and that's Jesus. Turn around and fall over. Turn around and surrender yourself and surrender to baptism, because baptism's not a work. Baptism isn't some mark that say, oh, I did that, so I'm going to... No, baptism is a way to say, I'm going to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and as I surrender to that, I'm going to let him be the one that's going to carry me the rest of the way. That's what that is. Repent and be baptized. I've noticed in the last few weeks, our baptism tank's a little dry. Hey, it still holds water. It can be filled at any time. It's a really simple thing. And I think there's a lot of us that are holding back on that because we don't think we know enough. You do. You just haven't really turned around and done it yet. That's all it is. He's a gentleman. He's at the front of the church, ready to say I do and surrender in a ceremony with you. And he's like, are you ready? It's simple. It's real simple. It's awesome. Been following Jesus for 21 years here. I've been following Jesus for 10 years before that. And at every point in my life, I have never once regretted surrendering my life to Jesus. I've had a rough go at times. Never regretted surrendering my life to Jesus. It's good news, and it's that good, and it's that free, and you just have to receive it. And it's what everything, like I said before, is based on. Guys, if we don't get this, we're just playing church. This is it. This is the centerpiece of everything that matters. It's so important. I've got people, right now my phone's been just going off in my pocket. Bzz, bzz. I'm checking it. I'm reading some of my sermon on it too, but I'm checking it. Praying. There's people all over town right now that are praying for maybe you tonight that have not received this good news. They believe it's that good of news. This whole community of believers in here, people that have really surrendered their lives to Jesus, they know and they get it. And they want it. They want it for the next person. They want to pay it forward. And I'm telling you, if you come to Jesus and you receive the gospel, it will be the second best thing you've ever done. the first best thing will be passing it on to the next person. Honestly. When it's that good of news, you gotta tell somebody, just like they did in Acts 14. So tonight, I want us just to have a night of celebration. This is not a heavy night. There are nights where it's like, we gotta talk about our sin, and we gotta be like, man, Jesus, will you take this? Yeah, that's part of this whole thing, but I'm telling you, tonight, I just wanna focus on the good freaking news. It's good news. So with that, I'm gonna ask us to stand. Band, you can come up, and I'll pray. Jesus, we admit that there's absolutely nothing we can do to make this thing work any better. You've done it all. You've done all the work. And the implications of your work are ripple effected out. And like I said earlier, I can't put them. It's not just six things. There's 60 things. 60 results of how you transform us in the good news trickles out. Thank you for overwhelming us. Thank you for the truth tonight through your word that we just simply say, whoa, thank you. And God, for those few people in this place tonight that might just be visiting and they haven't really heard this message as clear as it has been tonight for them, would you just kindly bug them? Irritate them into the beauty that you have waiting for them. God, we want so badly for everybody to feel and to receive and to understand and to live in this good news. Help us to do that well here on this campus. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.